Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Are you a morning person? How many we got here? How many people are morning people? Yeah? You wake up before the sun? Anybody? Yeah? You got that? Or maybe shortly thereafter, right? Some of us? Maybe when you wake up, do you throw off the covers and jump out of bed and you're just ready to go for the rest of the day? If you're a morning person, you're this type who maybe checks your email, watches the news, reads the newspaper, goes for a run or a walk, and then balances your checkbook all before even the rest of the day starts, right? Before most other people are even awake, right? How many people are not morning people? Me neither. Right? You like to stay up too late, maybe, or you like to hit the snooze button maybe a few too many times. You wake up cranky, you need more than one or two or three or four or five cups of coffee before you'll even look anybody without a snarl on your face. Barely enough time to put yourself together maybe before getting to work. That's me. I think I hit the snooze button three times this morning. Anyway. Doesn't matter, whatever your lifestyle is, because honestly, that's what really dictates it. Whatever your lifestyle is dictates whether or not you can be a morning person or whether or not you're an evening person. Although I have, you know, as preparing the sermon, I did find studies that actually says people are biologically inclined one way or the other. But that's neither here nor there. The truth is that in our word from God today, he tells us that we're all called to be morning people. Maybe not with our schedule, but spiritually, God calls us all to be morning people. God shared these words through the Apostle Paul. The hour has come for you to wake from sleep. That's it. The hour has come for you to wake from sleep. When God brings you to faith, it's much like an alarm clock. Wake up! That's what an alarm clock is designed to do. It's designed to go off. That way you will awake from sleep. The time has come. Get out of bed. That's it. Now, spiritually, this becomes a problem for us, though. Because we all want to hit the snooze button. We really want to be good Christians. We really want to wake up. But for some reason, these sinful bodies, they just go, I just need five more minutes. Snooze. Or we'll think, well, I'll just sin this one more time, and then I'll put it away forever. Snooze. Or we'll think to ourselves, well, I know I shouldn't say this, but it probably won't hurt anyone. Snooze. Or probably worst off is, well, I can live any way I want because I know that Jesus will be there to forgive me on Sunday morning anyway. Snooze. Do you know what a sleeping person is good for? Nothing. A sleeping person is good for absolutely nothing. They are dead to the world. They don't perceive what's going on around them. That's why me and my college buddies used to always mess with each other when they were sleeping. Because they don't know what's going on. And then it's comical for the rest of us when they wake up. A sleeping person is good for absolutely nothing. They might as well be dead. I mean, they're alive within themselves, but they're dead to the rest of the world. Their minds, what do their minds fill? What do your minds fill yourself with when you're dreaming or when you're sleeping? It's dreams, right? You have these false realities, these things that are just unexplainable and would never happen in real life. But on the other hand, when someone wakes up from sleeping, when they wake up, those dreams don't occupy their mind anymore. What occupies your mind when you're awake? Well, what tasks are before me today? How do I interact with other people? How does the world work around me? That's what occupies our minds when we live in reality, when we're not sleeping, when we're not dreaming, and the very same thing applies to faith. When you are an ungodly person, you are sleeping. That's what people who have no faith are like. By all stretch, they're dead. They're dead in the sight of the God. They're dead as far as trying to help out the world, at least in a selfless way. And they're not aware of what's actually going on. They filled their mind with dreams, with non-realities. And the non-realities are things like, earthly things are super important. The worldly things are temporal things, things that will eventually pass away. Or the things that they fill their mind with are how I need to get everything for myself. I got to serve number one. And that's not the way that reality actually works. It's a false reality. And so what does God do? But he comes and he sets off the alarm clock. Wake up! Let's look at what the reality actually is. And that reality is that I am your God and you are my creature, and I want to pour out all of my goodness for you. So all of those good things in the world, we attribute them to God. Whether it be our able bodies or our minds or the families that we have or the goodness that we receive, whatever it is, it's all attributed to God because he is merciful, because he wants to deliver to us. And when we understand that, we're awake. We don't live in a dream world. We live in reality. But by nature, we want to sleep. We want the night to last forever. And this is exactly why we have the season of Advent. God sends the sun. And while he also sends the physical sun, what I mean is he sends his son Jesus. And at that moment, the day begins. Because at a certain point in every single one of your lives, Jesus has been sent to you, into your ears as you heard the word, onto your head as you receive baptism, into your mouth as you receive the supper. Jesus comes to you and it wakes you up. It's time for you to be a morning person. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. God has come near. In fact, God came so near that he was born as a human being in the person of Jesus. He took on the very same flesh and blood that we have as human beings. And what does he do? Well, he says, all this divine power I have, all this divine power I can sort of execute for my own purposes up here in heaven, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go live as a normal person. Only without sin. And he shows us the kind of God that he is. Throughout his life, showing mercy and compassion and always serving selflessly for the sake of his people. And we shouldn't be so surprised. Because that's exactly what God has been doing for all time. God could have pushed the snooze button. Oh, Adam and Eve ate the fruit. I guess we have to deal with that in a few thousand years. That's not how he works. Instead, immediately after Adam and Eve give the fruit, God gives them a promise of a Savior. He says, look, already now I'm rolling up my sleeves to get this salvation business done. And God knew the kind of plan that would have to be set out for that to be accomplished. He knew that he'd have to work through Adam and Eve. He knew he'd have to send Noah in the flood. He knew that Abraham would have to have descendants as multiple as the stars in the sky. He'd work through Isaac. He worked through Jacob. He worked through the prophets. He worked through the judges. And finally, when everything was set perfectly and the time was exactly right, he says, here you go, my son. My son who will never hit the snooze button. My son who will always work early in the morning. And that's what he does. On the morning of Good Friday, where is he at the very first hour of the day? He's being condemned for blasphemy that he didn't commit. By the time midday rolls around, he's already bleeding and dying for the salvation of the world. Pierced on the cross for you. And 3 days later, did Jesus sleep in? Very early in the morning, he comes victorious from the tomb. He overcomes sin and darkness and death and sleep and even the snooze button. He overcomes all of it, and he does it for you. That way you can be a morning person. Well, what comes next? I mean, we've received this great salvation. Now, Jesus gives us this forgiveness, and he gives it to us full and free. The question is, what are you going to do with it? The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. If Jesus never pushed the snooze button in proclaiming your salvation, as Christians, we ought not to either. God has called you out of darkness into light. You once were asleep, now you are awake. You are a child of God who has been redeemed. Your identity is all caught up in this guy, Jesus. And so let's start living that way. We know how to do it. We've already been told. We already know it. The law is written on our hearts. How do we do it? We live self-controlled lives. I mean, some of these things that Paul writes about, they're pretty big sins. We know to avoid those things, but we know all the little sins to avoid too. It's not hard. Be self-controlled. When your sin crops up in your head and you're tempted to give in to it, don't. Resist the temptation to sin. Tell that sin to go away. Jesus promised that he'd be with you. Right? Love God. Love your neighbor. Be patient. Be kind. Respect the authorities that God has placed over you. Stop living for yourself and start living for the glory of God's name. In, yes, both what you say and in what you do. Be slow to anger and quick to forgive, just as Christ forgave you. We know what to do. The hard part is that snooze button is so tempting. I told you, I hit mine 3 times today already. And that was the physical snooze button when my alarm clock went off. I have no clue how many times I've hit the snooze button on my Christian life already this morning. But God calls us to stop. My friends, while the rest of the world is living in this fantasy land, this dream world, gratifying the flesh, doing whatever pleases them, you're different. Because you're not of the world. You're a morning person. A person on whom the sun has dawned. And I know because that's exactly what Jesus has made you. That's exactly who you are when you believe that Jesus has won salvation for you by becoming a man and dying on a cross and rising from the tomb. And he delivers all of these gifts to you by his Holy Spirit so that you can be awakened for a new day. So my friends, as you trust in this Savior, in this Jesus Christ, seize the day. Throw the covers off and live life without the snooze button. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.